We're going to talk about the Alpha and the Omega, the A and the Z. And I used to think it was a bad thing that my last name started with Z. Because when my books are cataloged or shelved in the bookstores or libraries, I'm the last guy sees Z. And it's like, oh man, the last guy in the alphabet, they're at the bottom shelf, nobody sees them. But I'm comforted today by the fact that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Hello, everybody. This is Martin Zender, the Omega, coming to you from my studio. And this morning, we're going to look at the titles of Christ as described by John. One of the titles, it's an epic title. It's in verse 8 of chapter 1. He is called the A and the Z. The A and the Z. That's kind of primitive. It sounds so juvenile. A, B, C, D. In the Greek, it's far more epic. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. The first and the last. The A and the Z. But that's the Greek alphabet. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. And Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So he's the A and the Z. And which means that he's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. And we're going to look at this. I'm going to start at the end of the book of Revelation to show you how this theme is repeated. Then I am going to give you the significance of the truth that he is the first and the last. Verse 12 of Revelation chapter 22. Lo, I am coming swiftly, and my wage is with me, and to pay each one in accord with his work. There it is again. Talked about that at the beginning of the week. Wage and work. Wage and work. Wage and work. It's all about wage and work. Yet Paul says, if it's of grace, it's no longer of work. Yeah. The worker is worthy of his wages, Paul says. That's on the earth. That's in this system, in this cosmos. In the next system, we're paid not in accord with our works. So it is a system foreign to the operations of human beings, the grace of God is. Anyway, I'm coming swiftly, my wage is with me, to pay each one as his work is. My friend Becky would have loved that, the one who loved the book of James, because that's what James talks about, wage and work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, in case you don't know what that means, the first and the last. And in case you don't know what that means, the origin and the consummation. So he starts with a primitive title that everybody would know. The A and the Z on the Alpha and the Omega. That was the Greek alphabet. Oh, I see. But then he elaborates upon it. It becomes deeper. I'm the first and the last. So if there were any Dumkoffs in Israel who thought he was giving a linguistic lesson, he explains, no, I'm the first and the last. Before me, there was nothing. And I'm the consummation of everything. I just gave away the true depth. Now we come into a further depth. I'm the origin and the consummation. That's even more elaborated upon than the first and the last, which is more elaborate than Alpha and Omega. The first, what do you mean? You're first in line, what do you mean? You're the last. What does that mean? You showed up late for the party? No, I am the origin and the consummation. Ooh, those are weighty words. He was the beginning of everything. And he's not just the last, but he consummates. He finishes everything he starts. Interesting that the very next word in verse 14 is happy are those who are rinsing their robes. Happy. Anyone who understands Jesus Christ in this aspect of the Alpha and the Omega, your life will be happier. I almost said happy. It will be happier. Because picture bookends, and I'm going to do that for you in the scriptures here. Picture bookends. And you look in your past, and you see tragedy, you see trial. You see pains, things that happened to you that were unfair. Now, how far back do you want to go? I'm the way I am because of the way my parents treated me. Yes, that's true. Why are they the way they are? Because of the way their parents treated them. Why are they the way they were? Well, my grandparents went through World War II. They were in the Polish ghetto. Whatever. How did they get the way they were? And down the line. And we can keep passing the buck down until we get to Adam. And Paul actually does this in Romans chapter 7. It's not me, it's sin making its home in me. But then we can go back even farther to the origin of everything. And the origin is the bookend that begins this long series of histories. And that would be God. In this scroll, it would be Jesus Christ. The origin. And he's the consummation. You look ahead. And what does your life hold for you? You don't know. You don't know what your life is today. You sure don't know what it is tomorrow. You might not be on this earth tomorrow. You might have great wealth in the morning. You might be impoverished. You may be with the same people you are today. You may be without them. No one knows. And yet, I know that Jesus Christ, and this is in common, this is a common cord between the gospel of the circumcision and the uncircumcision. He's the consummation. And he is good. And he has good intentions for all of us. He's the very first thing that was spoken of in creation. That's kind of far removed from you, isn't it? Let me put it this way then. He's the very first thing that spoke your name, spoke you into existence in your mother's womb. He began you. He originated you. He is the origin. The first puff of life that brought you into this world was his. And he's the consummation. Not only does he hold the keys of death and Hades, that's comforting enough. Let's stop there for 1 second. He holds the keys of death. No one leaves this earth apart from him. And when we see the death, the wholesale killing, sacrificing, better resurrections in the book of the unveiling, we know that he is very near because he holds the keys of death and the unseen. The unseen. The scariest things are those things which you can't see. I talked about the seven spirits creeping into my room. I can't see them, right? Isn't it scary when you can't see stuff? But he sees everything because he never sleeps or slumbers. And he is the consummation as well. And Paul speaks most eloquently upon the consummation. In Israel, we're looking to a particular consummation. I still say that Jesus Christ is the consummation for everything. He fulfills everything. A consummation isn't the end. It's not the end. You remember, I mocked the people who talk about this book of unveiling as the end of the world. It's the end of a world. It's the end of this cosmos, this world. But it's not the end. The consummation Israel's looking at in this unveiling goes no further than the new earth and the new Jerusalem that descends to settle upon that new earth. That's a consummation for them. That's the only consummation they're looking at here. And he is that for them. He personifies it. And this statement, this knowing him as the Alpha and the Omega, would have been a huge comfort to Israel. What it does is it ties him to everything he's ever started. Everything he ever set in motion, he's going to complete. He does not start something and then leave it. He does not come up with an idea and then see it short of completion. As some of our friends are saying, that Jesus Christ began a good work with Israel through Abraham, gave them the promises. And now, because of their disobedience, all those promises are dashed. This would have been the nightmare of any Israelite. And Paul writes the book of Hebrews to comfort them that God is not slack concerning his promises. Why? He's the Alpha and the Omega. That is, he's the finisher of what he starts. He's the first and he's the last. And everything between the first and the last is connected. Please see this. There's no divorce between the Alpha and the Omega, between the first and the last, between the origin and the consummation. Every single thing that happens in between those is part of the whole. and he's not going to leave some end undone. He's not going to abandon his plan. So I claim to you, I insist here that this scroll of the unveiling even has a connection to the Garden of Eden. Talk about, there's an origin for you, but even that is not the origin, because we know before that there was a disruption of the earth. And before that, even, there was the creation of the earth. But in the Garden of Eden, Adam was given sovereignty over the earth, and he was to take care of it. Well, Adam sinned. We know that sad tale. And at that point, the angel, the messenger, was given guardianship over the tree of life. Adam could not eat of it, and he lost his authority, didn't he? The animals became evil, and they came after him. And then everything, man lost, humankind lost the sovereignty that rightfully belongs to them when God placed Adam over the earth and gave him authority over the animals and over the earth to plant it, to water it, to make it grow. That authority is going to be reinstated to humanity through the people of Israel. And that is what they're seeing. If I'm an Israelite and I'm getting this letter and I read in verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is, who was, who is coming, the Almighty. I would be like, wow, that's my God. That would inspire the daylights out of me, because then I would see that nothing was inconsequential. Nothing was inessential. Everything that happened to me as an Israelite, I look back at my history, and it's a checkered past, to say the least. But this tells me that he's the beginning and he's the end. And so everything in between is of him. And it takes a mature Israelite to grasp that. It takes a mature anybody to grasp it. And few people today grasp this thing called the sovereignty of God. I guess the parallel passage in Paul would be Romans 11:36, out of him, through him, and into him is all. To him be the glory for the eons. Amen. And how comforting is this? Who was, who is coming, who is, who was, and who is coming. The term Yahweh in the Hebrew scriptures is will, being, was. That's the literal meaning of the tetragrammaton. Will, future, being, present, was, past. It starts in the future, will, then goes to the present, being, then to the past, was. But here in this inspired scroll, it puts the is first. Who is, who was, and who is coming. This is a switcheroo of the divine name, Yahweh. It's amazing. Because he's now with them. So the present is put first instead of the future. Will, being, was? No. Being, was, and will. Because he's coming to them in an even greater capacity after the events of the book of Revelation take place, after the events of the second coming take place, because there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. God himself is going to dwell on the new earth. Israel at that time will retire the priesthood, and they will be kings still over the earth. Well, I'm kind of happy my last name starts with Z now. The consummation. There's a happy finish to what we're all going through. I say this not only to any Israelites listening to me during the days of indignation, perhaps. I speak to you listening to me today. That God has your life bookended. You didn't bring yourself into this world. He did. He's the origin of you. He's the origin of all your trials. He's the origin of your troubles. He knows where you are because he put you there. And when you think you're lost, when you think you're done, when you think everything is lost, he's also the consummation. He is going to finish what he started. He's going to do it with Israel, and he sure as heck is going to do it and is doing it with you.